1988, and I'm here with William Christopher at New Berlin, and we're going to be talking about the fishing business and his experiences working in the fish market and fishing and that type of thing. Okay, first of all, I need your complete name.
William Christopher.
Okay, and how's the spelling for Christopher?
C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R.
Okay, and could I have your middle name also, please? Okay, and we need your address.
9217 Spotford Road.
Is that a New Berlin address?
No. That's my address now.
I see.
What you want, this address? All it would be is New Berlin.
Okay. That's Lewis and Sons Fish Market?
Well, yes, you can say that.
Okay. Okay. How about the zip code for your address at home then?
That's 22308.
Okay, I also need your date of birth and your birthplace.
August 2nd, 1927.
Okay, and you were born here in Jacksonville?
Right here in New Berlin.
Okay, and other places that you've lived?
Well, I lived in Jacksonville. From New Berlin, Jacksonville, been all my life.
Okay, and your occupation?
Fisherman, commercial fisherman.
And your marital status? You're married?
Yes, I'm married.
Okay. And your wife's name?
Thelma Christopher.
Okay. Right now you're in the fish market there, right?
Right now, yes.
Okay. Can you tell me how many people work there at the market?
Well, that would be hard to say. There'd be some come in there, you know, and help out. Okay. But they're not on salary or something like that. They just come in and give a help out there.
I see. Okay. You've got maybe about four people in there most of the time working
with you?
Most of the time, yeah. Okay. Who owns the operation there?
Well, Bob McCoy is the building is leased. That's what it is. It's leased out.
I see.
Now, who had the lease? Lewis and Sons had the lease. Now, whether he sold it out to the other man, I don't know that.
I see. Okay. How big would you say the operation is?
Couldn't say that.
I mean, compared to some of the other houses, would it be considered a real big one, or is it kind of small?
Wait a minute. Now. Is this for a class, or are you getting into something else?
Oh, this is going to be used for the class along the line.
Why would this interest your class?
Okay, I want to let them know, like, whether or not this would be considered a big house or a smaller house with the operation there.
You see, what I'm doing, I'm giving out somebody else information, and I don't think I should do that.
Okay. Well, we could just talk about it.
We came in here, we were talking about fishing and stuff, but now you're going down in somebody else's personal business. I don't think I should get into that.
Okay. Well, we can just talk about your fishing business then.
Yeah, well, that's a little different, because all that I don't know.
Okay.
I can answer that.
Okay. How did you get started with the fishing business then?
But I've been fishing all my life. I came up through that. All my ancestors were fishermen.
Oh.
So I just took it up from my childhood days. That's all I've done.
What was it like when you were young fishing? What types of fish did you catch there?
Well, we caught just about all kinds of fish. Like mullet, bass, trout, drums, sheephead, all that kind of fish, but back in my early days then, you only got money price would be speckled trout and red bass. Other fish was like, you do whatever you could do with it. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was then.
How would you go about catching them back then? What were the main methods of fishing?
Well, we had cast nets and we had gill nets. Certain places we would take, like in creeks, we take the cast net, we go in those deep holes in those creeks, and we would cast net it, you know. And sometimes 9, 10, 12 foot of water in some of them holes, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where we caught those fish.
What would you catch with the cast nets mainly?
Mullet, bass, trout. Just about any kind of fish you catch with the other net.
how do you go about using a cast net? I've never actually seen one used before.
Well, a cast net is a net that you put some of the lead line into your mouth and some on your arm. And you swings it. Anyway, you can make it spread.
How about the gill nets? How are they used?
Gill nets is, they're runned out the boat. They have a lead line and a cork line. The lead line will sink. And the corks will make it stand straight up. Whether they go under the water, it's still going to stand up. You may not see it, but it'll stand up. And it takes long and you let it sit there a while. Fish runs into it.
How long is the gill net itself?
Well, in our early days, we ever used over 600 foot. But now they go to 12, 15, 1800.
Oh.
Depends on how greedy he is.
Would you use any other types of nets besides the cast nets and gill nets back then? Is that pretty much it?
That was the only one besides the drag net, because you drag, drag for shrimp. It's a different type net altogether, but that was for shrimp and not fishing. But you do catch fish in it.
Are the drag nets the big type that they're using now? Kind of like the mongoose and cobra nets?
Yeah, the same thing.
I see.
When we had, during them days, then we had a flat net. And as days go by, it's always going to be another net that takes its place,
I see. Did you knit your own nets back then?
We made our own nets, yeah.
Oh, What kind of materials were you using for that?
Well, that was linen. Then they went to the Montefeller. Then they went to the nylon. Well, they went to nylon first.
Are the nylon nets a lot better than the old linen nets?
I would say so, yeah.
What's some of the advantages of those kind, of the monofilament and nylon over the old linen?
Well, the only thing about a monofilament net like that is when you drag it and you happen to hit a hang or something and tear, it's so much difficult to put back together than it is the nylon. If you hit something hard enough with it just busts. It's got the trouble to get it back together.
Do they ever use the hoop nets here on the rivers or anything?
Not here.
No. Uh-huh. How come they don't use those at all? I was up in Kentucky and Illinois, and they were using them quite a bit there.
Yeah, well, I think they use them here in the ocean here, but not in this river.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they use them like in the ocean there.
It was most of your fishing in the river, in the St. John's here. Did you do a lot in the ocean also?
It was did both ways. All my earlier fishing was mostly in the river.
Where would you sell the fish to when you were fishing early on?
Just about any place you could get rid of them, Didn't have no one special market.
Would there be fish markets along the river, or was that...
No. It would be people always coming along, They would put in orders like that, and then they would pick them up the next day, Just like you'd have two, three orders maybe coming this afternoon and say, well, I'll be down in the morning and pick them up. Well, you fish that night or that day, whatever you arrangement you had made, that's the way you got rid of them, mostly like that.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's really changed now. They do it a lot differently today.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot different now. You got to have a market where you're going to get rid of it,
What are some of the other big changes that you've seen in fishing from the past and to now, as compared now today?
Well, it's a lot of change. Everything changed. It wasn't as many people back then fishing as it is now. You take right now, as people don't even know what the stern of a boat from the bow is out here fishing now. Some of them don't know nothing but about planting potatoes and everything, but they're out here fishing now. They don't know how to do it, but I guess eventually you feel like he would catch on enough to know. then it's a lot to just come and he's a working guy. And in his spare time, he'll come get into that. So it changes. Once it used to be fishermen, now it's not fishermen, it's just whoever want to make it at, you know, whoever want to make it at.
So you got a lot more fellows out fishing today than there were in the past.
Oh yeah, I guess.
Is the business now about as profitable as it was back in the past, or has that kind of changed too?
Well, I won't say that because the prices now are different from back there. Back there then, you never got nothing. Well, you take back in, say middle 50s, we were getting 6 cents a pound for mullet. And that same fish now, any kind of way, he's 30, 40 cents. So that's a big difference. Of course, money was different then too. You had $20, you had $20. You got $20 now, you got nothing. So that's, it varies back and forth the same way, you know.
Let's see. Throughout the whole year, would you be fishing like in all the different seasons, or would there be kind of some off seasons where you'd be having to do something else?
Oh yeah. It's always a time. It comes and goes now. Sometimes they'll fish out 2-3 weeks and then they'll find them a job and work it a while. But there's always a place to come back to. You understand what I'm saying? You're never far. You can always come back.
I see.
Yes. Just like if I'm on a job and man fired me, then I say I have to go look for another job. But he know he can come back here. Well, Most of them, some of them get disgusted. They sell out everything they got. When they come back, then they got to start all over again. You know, that's kind of hard to do. But they be coming and going all the time. It's no big deal that you can just sit right down and depend on it. And then there's so many ways about this that you have to have 2-3 ways in it to survive in it. You can't sit down and say, well, I'm going to do it just one way as long as I'm in it. You can't say I'm going to buy this one net because this is what I'm going to catch the rest of the time I'm in it. You got to have 2-3 different nets to make it, because this week, the net you got in there now might do the job. And the next week it might be all over. So if you don't have that other two things going, then you're in trouble.
It depends mainly on what's running and how they're running that you're gonna set them. Yeah.
You see right now, if I go buy a 3-inch net, just because they're catching 3-inch fish right now, I'd be stupid. Because that's not gonna go around. First thing I do, I say, well, I buy me a 3 1/4, 3 1/8, and a 3-inch. You got too big for the 3-inch, and I'd go to the next size. So that's the way it is. You sit up and just looking out for it one way, you'll never make it.
Is there a limit on the mesh size that they can use out here?
Yes. I think under 2 7/8. Oh. That's the next size to 3-inch.
Uh-huh. Do they ever set trout lines or anything out here at all for fish, or is it all network?
We never set them on here because tide is too strong here. But way on up the river, around Green Coast Springs, and around through that section, they have trout lines.
How many hooks do they use on those lines?
Well, I imagine some of them use 3,000 or 4,000 hooks.
Wow.
Some long line, then some they have them in short lines, but they'll run maybe 6 or 7 short lines. and it still average up to that many hooks.
Mm-hmm. And they'll just stretch them across the river there, sink them down?
Some of them will stretch them across the river, some of them will stretch them straight up and down the river, some of them will stretch them up the beach. His own opinion was, it's just in his belief, you know, he got to use his knowledge for that. A fish will move, they'll move out the deep end and move along the beach line, you know.
That's it.
So that's what he got to keep that in his knowledge, you know, to move when they move.
That's it. What kind of baits do they use on the trout lines?
Well, they'll use shrimp, they'll use minnow fish, they'll use a porgy. There's some of them will use bananas, all kind of, just, they feel to think that certain times that a fish just won't bite but one certain bait. So they'll have to keep switching it around, you know. Half of them are just in their, it's in their mind up there, you know, right on with that.
I see. You've also done some boat building, you were telling me.
Huh?
You've also done some boat building, you were telling me about. What kind of boats have you made?
Me? Huh? I never built no boat.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you then.
Yeah, no, I never built no boat.
Okay.
I remodeled some of them. You took that boat right there, it wasn't nothing to it. There ain't much to it now, but you can lay down in it, it's dry.
Uh-huh.
So I don't see one around here dry now.
I see.
But I took in some guy come along there and pulled it up on the beach and knocked the bottom off of it. And he wanted to know this, that, and his Tony says, give me $20. I said, for what? Take that boat. I said, all right, I'll do that.
Uh-huh.
I'll fix it up right now.
Sure. But you got a couple boat builders here in New Berlin, right? There's a few people making them. Just maybe in the spare time once in a while.
Well, in the spare time, I know one old fella. He makes his boats.
Uh-huh.
But he's not a boat builder.
I see.
He can put something together now, but he's not a boat builder.
I see. What kind of boat does he make?
Just a regular rowboat, you know.
Uh-huh. It seems like some of the fish kind of come in style with certain people's tastes. Like, it seems like catfish now are something that people are eating more of than in the past.
Well, catfish always have been a standard fish.
Oh, really?
Always has been. Now, his price, well, I say he was a standard fish because his price always was standard. It never would drop out of sight. He'd always hold it on. Back in just like speckled trout, red bass, catfish. That was your three standard fish. Their price would never get down but so low. And it'd always come back up to the standard. Other fish price would drop out. And the only way you could ever get it back any kind of way is just somebody just really needed some or wanted some or know what it really was, they wanted to give you a little more for it. But catfish, it always had a standard. Now you take, from our early days catching catfish, they went up about three times much as they were now. But I would say, for standard price back in them days, they were 25 cents a pound. Now they're a dollar and more.
Mm-hmm.
So
they've really gone up there.
Yeah, he's held it on pretty good.
Yeah. What are some of the other real popular fish right now?
Right here in the river?
Right.
Well, bass, the spotted red bass was the popular fish, but they banned it there. So we can't have that. So you would have to say speckled trout, whiting, it's a popular fish. Whiting is a popular fish. But then he's really not our river fish. There are a few of them do come in, but I've never caught no mountain in the river. Maybe 40 or 50 pounds, but not no 400 or 500 pounds.
Do they ever have any fish fries here in the area? Is that done at all?
Fish fries?
Yeah, where they get all the neighbors together and have a big party with the fried fish.
They do that on occasion, they once in a while. Somebody have a birthday or just get us.
Uh-huh.
So we'll just have a fish fry. They do that.
Uh-huh.
Crab balls, stuff like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What kind of fish do they do at the fish fries?
Well, spots, croakers, not the standard fish, now, you know, like trout. They market that. That croakers, spots, they'll donate that into the fry, you know.
How do they prepare the fish for the fish fries?
Well, it's the old-fashioned way. Just salt and pepper them, meal them. Get the grease good and hot, put them in.
Is there a way of telling how the fish is done? How did they go about figuring out how to how to bring it out?
Oh, yes. You see, when they fry fish in, they put them in a deep fry grease. And when you put them in, they go to the bottom. It'd be just enough pressure to keep him from settling on the bottom. But when he's done, he'll come to the top and float.
Awesome. That's how you talk.
Oh, yeah.
Do they ever put on the fish fries for, like, special fundraising organizations, or maybe if a candidate's running for office, things like that? No, that's not done. It's just kind of like a birthday party or
just
special.
Regular, like, just like we say, well, next week is somebody's birthday, next week, let's have a fish fry. That's all that is, Cajun too. As far as having a fish fry to raise money for donations in St. Louis.
What other types of foods do they serve at the fish fries?
Well, some will bring soda, some will, you know, they have bread, some will bring some soda, some will bring beer, something like that. Just charge them among themselves.
Do they do the hush puppies too for them?
Yeah, they are. They'll do hush puppies in them a tired time. If it ain't nothing real fancy, it's fancy. It's, you know, like, so you got friends come down. You put all that together. But just like it's a bunch of us fellas, or we just gonna fry some fish up, we just use regular light bread.
I see. Is there anything that you do for good luck when you go fishing? Do you have some kind of good luck things that you do?
Good luck things?
Yeah. I hear fishermen have quite a few things to do for good luck.
Yeah, I heard all that kind of junk.
You don't believe it?
All my luck is, and I wonder sometimes, do that really be luck? Yeah. You could have luck, I guess, but you have to have some sense with it, too. So, I couldn't say, because when I leave the dock to go to the river to fish, here is a lot of people's ways of doing it. They are having in mind that they'll pick out one place that they're going. They're going to be at their destination there. And when they get there and start to working, and they don't find anything, they give up. Because that was his destination before he left home. That's not me. When I leave the dock, I said, well, I'm going and I'm going to try. And I'll keep a trying. And if you keep a trying, sooner or later you'll hit. So I guess that's my luck part. I take it as if I'm going on a 12-hour job or an 8-hour job. And I'm going to try that until that time's out. I've seen many nights I went all night long. Had enough fish in the boat to eat. Look over here on the salt daylight breaking and make that one run and catch my fish. So, I don't know whether you call that luck or a man just works in too.
I was talking to one of the fishermen yesterday, and he said the first time that he went out on one of the boats, he brought a suitcase with him. And he said, he got told not to do that pretty fast by the captain.
that's true. A lot of people, they have those kind of things. A lot of people, if you caught you with a peanut in your pocket on the boat, oh man, you have to go. They'll fire you too. I fished in quite a few captains like that. You could turn the oar around in the boat the wrong way, and that was a jinx. I couldn't see that.
Are there some of the other ones that the old captains had?
I used to tease a fella I used to work with fishing in the river. I'd have my lunch sack. I said, I got some peanut butter sandwiches in. I do.
Yeah. heard also it's bad luck to say the word alligator on board a boat. Some of them.
Well, a lot of guys believe in that. They see an alligator, they want to turn around and come back. And all that kind of junk. I don't believe in that junk. There's some people that, I don't know, man. But they believe in it.
So some of them believe it and some kind of just take it with a sort of grain of salt.
Some people take it as a joke.
Yeah.
Some people actually believe it.
I wonder why they've got so many kind of superstitions like that.
I don't know. Well, guys get that in their mind. They find these things and they go and have a bad trip. And that stays in their mind that's what happens, see? And then he gets so deep with it, then he lives with it. It's, every time he sees it, it crosses his mind that trip I had, that bad luck on, you got the same thing right there, and that's all that kind of junk, you know? Mm-hmm. You can make a believer out of a lot of people, you know, easy that way.
Do you enjoy the fishing business pretty well?
Huh?
Do you enjoy the fishing business?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I'd say it this way. If I would stay around the water, I would live another 3 or 4 or 5 years longer than I would live otherwise. Because you enjoy what you're doing. You can make 20 hours out there. For me, the way I feel it, then it would make 10 otherwise. But I'm saying I could double my time out there to what I do.
What do you enjoy about it when you're out there?
Well, it's relaxing. You have nobody looking down on you. You don't have to answer to anyone. You're saying, when you leave, you're your own self. You're your own boss. Whatever you feel like you want to do it, the way you want to do it, it's okay. If it don't come out right, then there's nobody to jump you about it. Or you can say, well, I should have done it that way myself. So that's a big difference, you know. You're working for somebody else, somebody telling you what to do and how to do it, and you're doing it your best and it's never done right to him, then you're upset. You're keeping yourself upset over things. So how dare you say one way? And you can call that shot so quickly. I'm going to do it this way. But if it don't come out, you can't get mad at nobody else. You only can look back at yourself. So you ain't going to get so mad with yourself. So there you are. You're right back on your calm basis. If somebody else would have told you that, you've been angry with him for months. You've been carrying that inside of you. It's a buildup. Out there's no buildup. You either do it or you don't do it.
You get to be a lot more your own man out there, I guess.
Right. You're more comfortable.
How does the future of the industry look to you? Does it look pretty good or do you think it's going to be in trouble?
Oh, it's definitely in trouble. No doubt about that.
What's happening to it?
Well, I could go back and tell you so many things happened to it. What happened to it, I don't know what causing it, but I know it got to be something causing it. The river is just not the same river anymore. You take, back in my early days, you could sit right here, on this dock right here, and when the tide would be coming up, what we call a rising tide, you see crabs down there, stacked on top of crabs, feeding along the beach. Little fish going along the beach. Mullet jumping all up and down that shore there. You can catch croakers with a hook and line right out there. That's gone. But something caused it. What caused it, I don't know. There's so many different things goes into this river until it's hard to say. But there's something killed it. And it's not getting any better.
Are your children into the fishing industry?
Hmm?
Do you have children that are into the fishing industry?
No.
No. Would you advise younger fellows to get into it?
Or, did I advise anybody to get into it?
Yeah. Or would you advise them to go into it?
Oh, would I advise them? I guess not. I would say no, because it's just not the same anymore. It's a hit and miss. And if you come out to it, it's more misses now than it is hits. So, to survive it now, it would have to be a man with good knowledge. Good knowledge. I mean, he couldn't be just anything come along, you know. He'd have to know what he's doing.